Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Who gonna check me, boo?
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol.
Now go to sleep, we.
Hello and welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I am Barry Rosenfeld.
And I'm Dylan Hafer. And if you'll notice, we switched things up just now. Barry.
We did.
Great job on that intro.
Thank you. Thank you so much, you guys. Today we'll be talking about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, a little bit of Vanderpump Rules, that Secrets Revealed social distancing edition. And at the end of the episode, we have an interview with Dorit Kemsley from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yes, so we interviewed Dorit earlier this week, and I will say I was disappointed because at the beginning of the interview, she tried to get Phoenix to come on screen, and she was being shy.
Yeah. Phoenix, so we did, come on.
So we almost got to see Phoenix, and then Dorit was trying to get her AirPods to work, and she texted PK to come help her, but then she figured them out right in the nick of time when PK was about to come in the room. So we missed Phoenix.
Well, he came in. And then didn't put his face in the screen. He, like, was shy, too. I was like, what the hell?
I just wanted to see the entire Kemsley family on my Zoom call. And sadly, that did not happen. But I think our interview with Dorit was pretty fun. We talked Beverly Hills, obviously. Lisa Vanderpump. Buca de Beppo, of course. Lots of fun stuff. So stick around for that. This week has been a short week, but it has somehow managed to feel just as long.
Yeah.
I think not having a real episode of Vanderpump Rules on Tuesday night just messed up my schedule.
Yeah. The fact that Bravo shows are affecting our schedules and the way we live day to day is, some people can look at that as a problem, but it was a Secrets Revealed edition episode, AKA a filler episode before we start the reunions. And it was okay. I mean, I always feel with Secrets Revealed, I'm not sitting at the edge of my seat waiting for something that I don't already know, because anything that happened that's juicy is already in the news or was aired on the show. Mm-hmm. So this was like, they just went around each of them Zooming each other. Like, so the weirdest part of the entire episode was when Charlie and Lisa Vanderpump Zoomed. That's something
with each other?
Yeah, that's something I didn't need, and I think that didn't really feel right. It was, you could see and feel the awkwardness through the screen. Like, they're not friends. They don't have anything to talk about. It was weird. The only juicy thing that happened, though, I have to say, is a fight between Dana and Charlie that they showed, and it was like awkward as fuck. And like, team Dana. Charlie, I'm sorry, I don't know, you know.
I as you can probably tell, I did not watch the Secrets Revealed episode. I just couldn't take that on. I have weird feelings about those kind of Secrets Revealed or whatever they like to, like, I just think it's one of those things where I have been watching already like 20 weeks of this season. Reveal the secrets in 20 episodes. Like, don't. Like, the reason I watch Vanderpump Rules is to reveal the secrets. So then I don't like the idea that Bravo would be keeping more secrets. Just show me the secrets. This season was not that riveting that they couldn't have added in a couple more secrets.
It's just like, shoot, we don't want to waste all this footage that we have, so we'll just compile it into an awkward episode for everybody in between weeks. Like, they showed Tom and Katie having date night, and they made food. Like, Tom cooked food for Katie, and he ordered fried chicken because they didn't christen the new house yet, which, like, hurry up. Like, come, what are you waiting for? But we all know that they're not really, their sex life is not that riveting, like, so to say. But he ordered fried chicken for a backup plan, ended up eating the fried chicken at dinner on their date night. The fried chicken was so hot that they couldn't have sex that night, which is like, thank you, Bravo, for not putting that in the season. And you could have also not put that in the Secrets Revealed episode as well.
Honestly, I would rather see an episode of like funniest random moments that ended up getting cut than
or bloopers. Like,
second tier Secrets Revealed.
Yeah. Everyone loves a blooper.
I would love just footage of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills sitting around the dinner table making like awkward small talk. I feel like that is what I want to see in extra footage, not Katie and Tom's date night.
Right. But we had our girl Raquel, and let me just tell you what she did, which should have been on the show, because anything she does should be on the show. She now considers her and James are having a conversation in the car, and she goes, I think I might be the hottest waitress at Sir now. And like, they were high-fiving. It was really cute. And she said that she might not be the best waitress, but she's gotten better because she used to write out goat cheese balls, and now she just writes GB. And that is...
And you know what that is? Growth.
I know. So anyway, fans, that is what happened on Vanderpump Rules this week. Those are the three bullet points I could give you, and we will have the reunion next week, and I can't wait. I honestly can't wait for that.
Yeah, I will say, I don't know that my expectations are super high, but I'm excited for it to watch it, for it to happen. It's just something I want to watch.
Plus, in our interview with Kristen a few weeks ago, she told us that we're going to find something out in the reunion, which I'm excited about. Because, like I said a few minutes ago in Secrets Revealed, it's like we already know everything, but this apparently, like, nobody knows. And yes. I don't even know if she was supposed to tell us that. But we're going to find out in the reunion with all of you. So we can, I don't know what it is.
A little nugget of truth to look forward to.
Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you're a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. It's designed to work with your body, not against it. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. You won't have to worry about it rolling down, which is unheard of in shapewear, thanks to flexible boning that's hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove.
Okay, so getting into Beverly Hills this week, we have the ladies going on their sort of mini trip to Santa Barbara. And everyone is there except Garcelle. And okay, I will
She's
just say...
She's not even in the episode, let alone the mansion.
I will just say, I think Garcelle is very fun. I've been liking her energy a lot. I've loved getting kind of side glimpses into her life with her friends and her kids and whatnot. But how did she get out of filming at so many group events in her first season? It is crazy.
what's crazy about it is that she's still so well-liked. Like, imagine if, like, any of the other, everyone would be like, what the fuck, what the fuck? But everyone's like, we want Garcelle. Like, where is Garcelle?
Right.
Imagine I just don't go to meetings all day at work. That's how it is.
It's an interesting balance because it's fun to have women in the group that are successful and have real careers going on. And obviously we see Denise is working a lot. Kyle has been getting back into acting with the Halloween movie. A lot of them have a lot going on, but that's a tough trade-off when all of a sudden you have people missing events left and right and people out of town for weeks at a time. And I think they're kind of walking a fine line with this cast of, at a certain point, you have to have people that can show up.
Right, because they're not going to put their actual lives on hold. Like, Kyle would never not do that movie to do this, you know? But it needs to be shown. But anyway, they go to this mansion, and it is insane. It really is. But they could have showed a little bit more of it. Like, I didn't see that. They sat in, like, one room. And tell me if I'm wrong, not only was Dylan and I had conflicting opinions about this episode. Not only was this one of the most boring episodes I've ever watched in my life, and every person on Instagram last night agreed with me, but like, did the women not seem bored on the episode last night? At one point, Kyle even called everyone bored. Like, there was nothing happening last night. Nothing.
Okay, season 8 and 9 would like a word in terms of the most boring episode ever, but I will say this season, I definitely agree. I acknowledge that some of the drama and the conversations have been a bit repetitive or kind of circular, or they're bringing up the same things more than once. But I still think that the group dynamics and the specific kind of relationships between the women have been really interesting to watch. And even this episode, last week we saw Kyle was really put on the defensive. It seemed like kind of everyone was coming at her. And this week I thought she kind of expertly got the pressure off of herself, and all of a sudden everyone's coming at Denise. And I think it's interesting. It's not necessarily that the root of the drama is really entertaining or juicy, but the way they're kind of handling these situations, I find really interesting to watch. It's not explosive, okay, but I think it's interesting.
I can see. I can see where you're coming from with that, and I agree. However, coming back at that, with that conversation with the women at the table, with Kyle, again, Kyle wouldn't even make eye contact or turn her head to Erica when Erica was speaking at her. And it really is crazy to see Kyle's reactions to when people have a problem with what she, like she can always tell people what they're doing wrong. And if they dare say something to her, she either starts crying or just starts getting defensive. And that's something I really like have never seen from Kyle before. She's like not as strong as she used to be, or maybe we're just not seeing it, but I didn't like the fact that she was very dismissive of Erica in that conversation.
Yes.
Just let the girl tell you what she thought you were doing wrong. Erica wasn't even raising her voice. She was just having a conversation, as she does.
Well, and last week we saw Kyle say some things to Erica that were kind of not nice about how she doesn't really have friends. And then when Erica was understandably upset about that, Kyle seemed like weirdly taken aback that Erica was not over it or didn't just move past it. And I think that's Kyle's biggest problem this season, is that it kind of feels like she can throw the punch, but then she doesn't want to stay in the fight after. She's like, what? She's like, no, I'm sorry, it was fine. And it's like, no, you need to actually have this conversation right now and own up to the fact that you said something hurtful. And the next week, you're not just going to be like, I'm sorry, Erica. Right.
And she didn't apologize. She just kept saying, which I thought interestingly enough was bizarre, that she kept saying, we've all been upset. We've all said something. No. You said something rude. Like, stop making it like a group thing. You said something rude. Apologize. Or like, say, you know what? I shouldn't have said that. You know? So
I think it seems like this group has trouble figuring out when something is a group issue and when something is a one-on-one issue.
Yeah.
Like, I understand you want to have... I understand you want to have drama at the dinner, but some things truly are not group arguments.
Right. And to be honest, I actually appreciated when Teddy said that to Dorit last night, where she says it's not, I usually side with Dorit, but I wasn't siding with Teddy for this, but I liked when she said that she thinks it's just a friendship thing with Dorit and Kyle, that they need to have a conversation. And you can even tell Dorit was like, maybe you're right. Like, I have a little problem with you, Teddy, but maybe it is something that me and Kyle need to figure out. But we'll see. Honestly, the most exciting part of this episode, the only thing that happened in this episode, was the fact that we talked about threesomes after every single commercial break. It was like one conversation is extended for an hour.
There was a lot of threesome talk, of course, going back to Denise's outdoor pizza ice sculpture party, where the kids were talking about threesomes. And okay.
No, they were talking about threesomes.
Right, not the kids.
That's the problem.
Okay, so I think Denise is completely justified in asking the women to watch what they say around the kids.
Agreed.
I don't see how anyone would argue that. But the thing is, I think Denise is taking it a little too seriously, that it was one thing that happened one time. They weren't talking about anything, honestly, really that salacious. They weren't talking about anything super graphic or whatever. She acknowledges that her kids have heard about that stuff before. And what bothered me, I don't think Denise is wrong overall, but it bothered me that when she brought up her daughter Sammy's reaction, she made it sound like Sammy was upset and horrified, when we saw on camera that Sammy was like, LOL, Mom, we heard you guys talking about threesomes. And it's like, you could have just asked them not to talk about it. You didn't have to lie and say that your daughter was like upset and offended.
Right. And also, it went on to the extent where I liked how Denise kept her composure throughout this conversation, because it was easy to get heated if it involves your kids. I get it. But I don't know. It was very, then when Lisa Rinna brought up the whole like stripper thing, that was fucked up. Like Denise even said that, like, you're my friend. Like, where did that even come from? That has nothing to do with anything. I feel like Rinna was like, ooh, I'm not really involved in this. Let me throw a little like jab in there.
That felt like a classic example of Lisa Rinna being like, I see an opportunity. I'm going to stir the shit. I'm going to be the shit stirrer. And sometimes that is necessary and can be really fun. But in that specific instance, it was like, why would you bring that up? Why would you talk about that? Because the whole, the idea of whether her kids know about threesomes is totally different than asking about the specific situation with Charlie and all of that that went down. And that, it just felt like out of left field and really like kind of an uncool thing to say.
Right. And also points for Denise with the ice sculpture, when she was like, boom, Eloise picked it out and they were all like crickets.
That, like, was
also, even if Eloise didn't pick it out, we said this to you, who cares? What, Kyle, would you have preferred if she had an ice sculpture of a pizza slice to go with the theme more? Like,
it definitely was, it was a dumb comment from Kyle in the first place, but that was, oh, it was brutal when she said that Eloise picked the ice sculpture, because Kyle's literally just there like, okay, I guess. Yay, Eloise picked, like, you can't come back from that. It's just, you can't.
They didn't either. They were like, okay, well.
I have to throw it back to one comment. So we saw them racing in the Surreys, the little truck things, to the wine tasting. And my favorite little moment was when they're pairing off in these little bike cart things, and Dorit gets paired with Teddy, and she just goes, why do I get the pregnant one?
And then there was silence. And then they all laughed.
Teddy just kind of had to take it. And I honestly, like, I've said this before, I think Teddy's one real purpose to still be on this show is that she is an easy target for the rest of the women. And as much as I'm sure it's hard for her. Oh, it's so funny.
I know. Someone actually sent me today, Heather McDonald does the Barbie dolls of the Real Housewives. I don't know if you've seen it. And Teddy is just not there. She did a video last night and she did all of them, and like, there's no doll for Teddy. It's really like funny, but she, yeah, again, born like whatever, like cool. Teddy went on a run last night. Can you bring us right, whatever? Point, she did more than Garcelle last night, so whatever.
At this point, it's boring to talk about how Teddy is boring, but I do still think, I do think that actually is kind of an important purpose, that she's an easy person to come for, and it's interesting that she's saying to Dorit, don't have your issues with Kyle and me, just have your issues with me, because it's like, Teddy, you better be careful, because if people start coming for you, you're going to be crying in 10 minutes.
Right, and it's like, sometimes fun to watch a fight where no tears are involved.
And yeah, and we, as we have seen over the last couple seasons, Teddy is the kind of person where she'll be like, no, it's fine. I'm fine. You can have your issues with me. I'm not getting upset. And I don't need to watch a whole season of that. Please.
Ugh. Wow. Next week, though, it leads off, you guys, with the drama starting. It's starting. And I'm like, thank God, because this is what we've been waiting for. And I hope it doesn't disappoint us.
Denise was kind of like starting to unravel a little bit this week when they were talking about her kids. And you can see next week, it really seems to kick into high gear.
Yes.
Okay, real quick. Who is your number one Bravoleb in the group? It can't be Garcelle.
No, I know. My number one, guys, this is crazy because like I can't even like rotate anymore. My number one this week is Erica, because I like how we do our reasonings too. Because the way her composure is just something I would only hope to live up to. But that during that conversation alone with Kyle was really what did it for me. She just is so classy and kept together and always just proves a point, and I love it. So, and I love her natural glam.
Yes, she looked great this episode. The outfit choices may not have been practical, but they did look great.
Wait, and then going off of that, sorry, Kyle, when Erica was wearing that MCM jumpsuit, which fucking glamorous, Kyle said like she looks like she's doing one of those like 70s sweat workout classes, but anything Kyle says does not come off as a joke. It comes off as like an insult, and I feel for her because I'm the opposite. Obviously, everyone knows I'm kidding when I say something, even though I always sound like a bitch, but Kyle's just like not fun. Like they're just like, there's another one, Kyle. Like, thanks a lot. And it's just so awkward to watch. Like, just compliment someone.
Okay, so I'm going to be a little unexpected here, and I'm going to say Kyle was my number one this week, just because, not because I think she was right in everything she did, but I think she was skillful in everything she did, and I respect, I feel like last week we saw her kind of flailing a little bit, and this week I feel like she kind of picked up the pieces and turned it around on Denise, and I'm excited to see how that continues to unfold.
That word flailing is
and I also just funny. I just didn't want to pick Dorit again because I feel like I've said it too many times.
I know I was like going to, but then I was like, we have an interview, but anyway, stick around.
So guys, don't go anywhere. We have our interview with Dorit Kemsley coming up, and don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, follow us at Bravo by Betches.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Welcome back to Mention It All, guys. We are now joined by Dorit Kemsley, entrepreneur, TV personality, and founder of Beverly Beach. Dorit, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, how's quarantine going? What's going on? Tell us about it.
Well, we're on day 7,302, something like that. I feel like it's definitely become our normal. And, you know, lucky for me, we got into a routine very quickly. And you kind of have to, I think, with two little toddlers around. And, you know, we were adjusting to the schooling. And you know, really, I'm going to be honest, it's been really nice for us to be together as a family and home. You know, at first it was a little challenging and it was kind of like, well, figuring out ways to pass the time. But I feel like our days go by so fast. And, you know, I'm cherishing this time with the kids, you know, and my husband. He usually travels a lot for work. So we're all four of us are home together and it's just really nice.
It's been so fun seeing your kids on social media over this time. Your kids are adorable, of course. What has this time taught you? Any challenges or lessons you think this time has kind of helped you out with as a parent?
For sure. I mean, listen, before I had never taught. I've done a lot of things in my life, but I was never a teacher. Luckily, you know, my son's only in kindergarten, so I'm not that challenged with like math and reading. And but that, you know, that at first was very interesting, you know, particularly getting a six-year-old boy, you know, to sit there and be focused. And he's got up to 5 Zoom classes a day. So,
oh my gosh.
I know. We're doing all different kinds of subjects. But, you know, we found our groove. I'm cooking a lot. I like to cook. People don't know that, but I'm actually a very good cook. My mother is an exceptional cook, and I grew up with a mother that, you know, put a homemade meal on the table every single night. She still cooks for my father every single night. And when she actually comes to visit, and she'll, if I have to travel, she comes to look after the kids, and she prepares meals for my father, freezes them, puts the day of the week on them, you know, and then he just takes it out, puts it in the oven. So I grew up with this, and you know, I really love to cook for the family. Obviously, when I'm super busy and we're filming, you know, I can't cook as often, but now I don't really have a good excuse. So I find myself cooking even more, which has also been really nice.
Now they're probably like, Mom, where's dinner?
Oh, yeah.
Where's lunch?
Oh,
where's
yeah.
breakfast?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And treats. And Phoenix loves to bake. So, you know, we do those cooking shows. And then, of course, like midnight, going downstairs looking for the cookies that we baked that day. It's really bad.
Phoenix is super cute with her baking show, but what is her favorite thing to make? And what is your favorite thing to cook?
So, I mean, I've got a few. To be honest with you, I like to cook for my husband. He's a picky eater. So my favorite dishes to cook are the dishes that he loves because it just gives me like so much pleasure, you know, when he really enjoys it. So he's got like his 5 fave. And I rotate. I try to do something like even on the more healthy side. Most of what I make is healthy anyway. It's simple, it's healthy, and you know, it's better if I'm making him a homemade meal than if we're going out for dinner, truthfully. But when I try and go outside of the dishes that he knows and loves, he's kind of like, why can't you make the Moroccan dish I love? Why can't you make the tuna sauce? So, yeah, I find myself cooking like kind of whatever he likes.
Oh. And how has stuff with Beverly Beach been going? What's the situation like now with, you know, things being closed and whatnot?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously we had to slow down because of the pandemic. We produce everything in Los Angeles. So our factories were shut down, which was okay because we had just gotten some restocks in before the pandemic. So we had stock, which we're selling through, you know, now. And it's okay. It's given me a chance to almost pause and, you know, regroup. And I've got a lot of ideas. Quarantine has definitely recharged my batteries and creatively, because I had just come off of filming the season and that takes a lot out of you. So, I've really
can't
had
imagine
a chance.
Why.
I know, exactly. So I've had a chance to kind of really think about some of the things I'd like to do for Beverly Beach, and I've got a lot of ideas. So when things are back to running. You know, we've got the all clear. We're going to hit the ground running.
Oh, that's so exciting.
But in the meantime, we have gorgeous things on the site, you know, that are selling every single day all over the world.
Good. Good for you. So season 10 has been fun and fresh and just a great time to watch for everybody. So what do you think worked so well with the group, especially them being two new girls involved?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the group, the core group, has definitely gotten stronger and tighter. You know, everybody, the core group, I mean, we've all known each other 4 or 5 years. I mean, Teddy being the, you know, the newest in her 3 years. So we've really had a chance. You feel more comfortable and confident, and the relationships are stronger, even though you wouldn't guess that in some of the episodes. But I think that plays a part, and I think that we've got two new girls. I think there's something very fresh about this season. I think they're great additions. They're also diametrical opposites, so they really bring, you know, something very different, each of them. And I think that that's what's really, you know, making it fresh and working.
I know you guys filmed for a long time for this season. You guys were, you know, still filming when Erica was doing Chicago at the beginning of the year. Was it something that you knew going in it was going to be a longer process, or was stuff happening and it just kept unfolding and they knew they had to capture it? What was that like?
You know, our season, it wasn't that much longer than usual. We kind of have like, you know, it's anywhere between 4.5 to 5 months, something in and around there. Some of the girls were away a lot. Kyle was gone for weeks on end, and Garcelle was filming. So, you know, you do need us together. So we had to kind of roll with that. You know, and I think that we were all prepared. We went down for the holidays. We had always intended to go back up in January to see Erica, which I'm not even sure if they'll have this season. But we did. Some of the cast ended up going to New York City to see her. So, yeah, it did feel like it dragged on a bit. But, you know, that kind of tends to happen, truthfully.
Right.
I will say it's been fun this season. I feel like because they filmed a lot, they can cut out kind of things that might be filler in another season and just show the best little moment of, you know, they had dinner last night and now we're talking about what really happened. So it almost feels richer and like there's kind of a deeper layer of what we see. And it's been fun so far. I'm really enjoying it.
I'm so glad to hear you say that. You know, obviously we love to hear that. And it's been an incredible response and the ratings are off the charts. And,
yes,
you know, we're really proud of that and really happy. And I agree with you. I do. I think that we obviously shoot so much more than what is shown, you know, and that's the nature of the game. I mean, we only have 18, 20 episodes and we shoot thousands of hours. And they do have to cut it down. But I agree, you know, we had shot so much that they're able to kind of cherry pick the really important, exciting, dramatic, fun, you know, moments and also get some backstory for each of the cast. So I think that that's true.
They should make like a cut scenes DVD, like what they do with movies. Like, I would buy that.
Totally agree with that. Oh,
that's
yes.
That's funny. So yeah. You've known Lisa Vanderpump for a long time, even before the show. How has this season been so far without her? And has your relationship changed or moved, progressed with her?
As far as the season goes, I will say, you know, none of us really knew what to expect because Lisa's always been on the show. I mean, she's one of the originals, you know, and this was the first season that we were filming without her. So, but you start filming and it just sort of goes and it happens. And I don't think there was really time to kind of feel her absence, if you will. There was so much going on that it didn't feel like there was a missing part. So it just felt very natural. I think that, you know, none of us probably thought it would have been that sort of easy of a transition, but it really was. And, you know, as far as our relationship, sadly, We haven't spoken, and that's, you know, not because I haven't wanted to, or I haven't made attempts, but we haven't spoken since last season. So there really isn't a relationship there. I always say I'm hopeful for the future, and you never know, but, you know, I'm not stopping life and waiting for it to happen, if you know what I mean.
Right. Well, that's sad to hear, but also easy, I guess, for the show, like you explained.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I liked on last week's episode when you and PK were at the meeting at Buca di Beppo that you guys brought up the connection with Lisa and Ken and the restaurant business and, you know, seeing you grow in that part of your life. And it's, I like that from a show standpoint and from your standpoint, it's not like you can't bring it up, but it's, you know, moving forward with your life. And, you know, it's been fun to see that side of you as well with the business this season.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you know, it's such a big part of my life. So it's really great, obviously, to show it. And I've always been in business. I've always been a career woman. So this isn't new for me. This particular venture with Buca di Beppo was a natural fit for me because Robert Earl, who owns Buca di Beppo, you know, he's a very, very, very dear family friend. He's known PK for 30 plus years. They go way back. And he also goes way back with Lisa. He knows Lisa. And in fact, when we were friends, you know, funny enough, I met Lisa at his daughter's wedding, which was in Paraquet in Turks and Caicos. So we had all flown there and Robert put us in a house together. So that was the first time I'd met Lisa. This is way before I started wow. Housewives.
Wow, that's a full circle.
Oh, yeah. Full circle. So Robert, you know, and whenever we would go out, you know, when we were going to Robert's house, Lisa was always there. So he's known Lisa a long time. And you know, we know Robert so well. And PK also went back with Lisa, not as far as he goes back with Robert. But we have a lot of mutual friends, and Robert was definitely a common denominator. So, you know, bringing up Lisa's name, truthfully, bringing up Lisa's name in within the group of ladies, it doesn't make sense or feel right, and no one's really inclined to talk about it. There's nothing really to talk about. And in this instance, you know, it's a genuine question that's asked, you know, through two people that are very good friends that are, you know, he's also very good friends of hers. And, you know, here I am going into the restaurant business, if you will. And, you know, also Robert and PK have such a great dynamic. They've got such great banter. They bounce off of one another. They're always teasing one another. So, I mean, that's kind of why it was brought up. And, you know, he said he thinks she'd be happy for me. And, you know, that's obviously very nice to think. Yeah.
So you've been on the show now. This is your fourth season. You're not a newbie anymore by any means. How do you feel like your approach to the show and your place in the group has kind of shifted throughout the seasons?
Well, I think much like anything, the longer you do something, you know, you understand it more. You know, for me, it was a whirlwind, you know, starting this show. And I've learned a lot over the years, clearly. But I, you know, like I said in the beginning, I think that the relationships with some of the women in the group, you know, have really strengthened. They're very dear friends of mine. People that I trust most in this world that I go to for advice, that I have such a good time with. You know, we do spend a lot of time together, and they're people that I still maintain relationships with even when we're not filming. So, I mean, that obviously changes, because when I joined the group, I didn't know anyone but Lisa. And then I had some difficulty with a couple of the girls, and really, you know, a beautiful friendship has come out of that.
Well, I love to see it. We've all Thanks, know babe. You love your dedication to your glam, and everyone should appreciate the time and energy that goes into it. So how far in advance do you plan these looks and for where you're going and the specifics that go into it?
So funny enough, our schedules are kind of made like week to week. because, you know, it's a reality show and they're tracking our lives. So if we have a particular event and I do know ahead of time, I've never really been one of those that prepares or plans too far in advance, because I kind of dress for the mood that I'm in. Obviously, if I'm going to an event or something specific, then there's a little bit more thought put into it. And I love, you know, I love to style, I love fashion, I love dressing up. So, you know, I'll kind of have an idea, and then from there, everything else will grow. And I've got a fantastic hairstylist that I've been working with for many years, and her and I love to play, and I trust her. So we can really collab really beautifully together, and I like to obviously change up my hair, my looks a bit. So I, you know, I find it's fun. You know, it's fun particular, and I like to create the look first and then kind of figure out the total package.
Speaking of glam, it's always so fun to see what you're wearing on the show, what your hair is going to look like on the show. It's something I look forward to every week. That one day with the glam at Teddy's retreat, did you have any idea that that was going to cause a stir ahead of time? Because it seemed like it really came out of nowhere and then became such an ongoing issue. What kind of went through your mind when you realized that people were calling you out for that?
I cannot even tell you. I'd say that was probably one of the most surprising moments so far to date. First of all, you know, as you've heard Teddy say numerous times, that it was very much come for what you want to come, very chill, relaxed. You know, I was there for 9 hours. PK was out of town. I had told them that I didn't want to leave the house before the kids woke up and come back, you know, after they'd gone to sleep. So I was going to come after lunch. That was always the plan. I mean, I'd said that from the beginning. I had no idea that the girls had traveled together in the morning. Nobody had asked me. And I know that there's been some discussion that I did know, or I got a memo. I never did. It's absolutely not true. And, you know, we traveled to Orange County. And there's also, where I live, there's a certain time. I mean, me saying I was coming after lunch, I was factoring all of the different things. Right. But I came when I said I was going to come. So right. I never expected to be bombarded, being called that I came late and I was glam and the way I mean, I never in a million years expected that. It really threw me. And I was there and, you know, I'd come a long way, you know, and left the kids and I wanted to be there to support Teddy and I wanted to be there with the girls. And, you know, I find myself getting there. And when I was in that position, I just felt like, oh my God, why did I even do this? You know, Lisa Rinna, Garcelle, you know, they weren't there and we had the choice. Maybe it would have been better for me not to come at all, but.
Honestly, watching it, I think going from Encino to Laguna is enough of a gesture just by itself.
Thank you. And what they don't show is that I was actually there until 10 o'clock at night and came at noon. I mean, and still the drive, you know, 3-hour drive, but it's just, and you know, because I missed a boxing class, which I never intended on doing anyway, you know?
I think it's so funny because not that anyone can do whatever they want, but your saving grace was that you said you were coming after lunch, and that's exactly what you did. And was it your fault you showed up looking glamorous? No. And that was the funniest part to watch because you were like, what?
Shocked.
As if I would show up not looking like this.
But why? I mean,
I know. Why?
First of all, it's since the beginning of the, everybody knows that I would do that. I mean, I take a lot of, you know, pride in the way I look. It's not for everybody. No one is saying this is right, that's right, this is wrong. To each his own. But it's not like I went one season with no glam and suddenly now it's the most important thing. I've always been a glam girl. You know, it's just something right. that I do when I like to, and I was wearing my Beverly Beach leggings, you know, it's like I'm wearing my own athleisure, like and I'm coming to a workout retreat. What am I supposed to wear?
It was a good outfit.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
Thank you.
Yes. So we've obviously been loving this season so far. If you could just give us a little preview of what we still have to come this season, of just what we can look forward to.
Well, we've got a lot of exciting things to look forward to, primarily our trip to Rome, which is so fabulous, you know, and going back to Italy for me was so nice because I spent so much time there. So that's really great. You know, obviously, I'm an investor in Buca di Beppo, and one of the one of the first orders of business was I wanted to design a room in Buca di Beppo, which you'll see, and we track the process, and then I have a big reveal, which that's really exciting. You know, and there's obviously drama, and then the drama gets bigger, and then bigger, and then bigger, and then there's a few bombs. So yeah, there's a lot to look forward to in this season to come.
You guys take the best trips of any housewives. You guys get amazing vacations.
Yeah, we do. And you know, the nice thing is that we also do have a lot of fun, you know, and particularly on those trips. And they're hard. I mean, you're together and, you know, we're filming 18-hour days. You know, they're very long. So you're really together as a group for an extended period of time, which is probably why there's always some drama.
Well,
we're together
we
too
need
much.
The drama.
Yeah, I know. Well, the audience likes it, exactly. But yes. there's all of that yet to come.
So we always ask, what is the first thing you're going to do when quarantine is over and you can have your freedom back?
Oh my goodness. The first thing I want to do is have a massage. I mean, I don't think I've ever wanted a massage more. I've got an incredible masseuse who actually comes to me, and I've been working with her for a number of years. And obviously she's not working, and I get weekly massages. It's like, it's my thing, you know, take the tension out, and it's something that I can't enjoy, and I don't know when I'll be able to do it. So that I'm really looking forward to.
What's funny, we talked to Leah McSweeney from Real Housewives of New York, and she said the exact same thing, a massage.
See, I don't want a massage. I want, like, a microdermabrasion. Like, I need my face, like taken off and then put back on, essentially.
Yes, I know. You need to be taken apart and put back together. I know. That's the way I feel with my body.
Yes, yes.
But face second to the body. But, you know, I hold so much tension in my shoulders and, so, you know, I'm doing a lot of stretching and, you know, trying to release it on my own, but it's nothing like the human touch, you know, really being able to get in there. So that facial for sure. My husband and I like to have date night, you know, and we're spending a lot of time together here, but it's nice. He likes to go out for dinner as well, at least once a week. So that as well, but I will say it. Massage more than anything for me.
Amazing. Well, Dorit, thank you so much for joining us. This has been so fun. Can't wait till we can talk to you in person, hopefully before too long.
Yeah, I hope so. Stay safe, stay well, guys. Thanks for everything.
You too. Thank you so
too.
Much.
Thanks, Dorit. Bye.
See you soon. Bye-bye. Bye.
Betches.